Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial County. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, your wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And I'm Maria. And
I'm Scott.
That's Scott.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in again, if you're still tuning in or retuning in, I guess. And if it's the first time in, welcome aboard. This is your voice for wellness here in Imperial County. 337-8874 is the phone number, as Maria suggested. And always, we're on podcasts. So if you hear us today and you're like, whoa, this is really cool stuff, I need to tell my tia or somebody, then grab it and go to kxoradio.com, and there we sit forever and ever in digital space. You know what's cool? I look really young and cute inside those podcasts because they're like old.
Really?
I haven't aged at all. The podcasts are like snapshots of time, only sound. Okay, welcome aboard. Sorry, I'm like digressing. We have two guests today, so we need to go twice as fast and jump right on into this stuff. Representing the Imperial Valley College Outreach Program today, we have Mireya Felix and Yolanda Romero. They're both counselors, and they have a very special program that we're going to talk about today. So, ladies, good morning. Yolanda, good morning. Let's start
good
with
morning.
You.
Good morning.
Tell us about your program, about the program at IVC.
Our program is the outreach program, and this program started in September 21st of 2009. And
whoa, you remember the day?
Yes, that's when we started.
Fall equinox, right? It was planned.
Exactly. That's when we started with the program, with a contract with IVC and Behavioral Health. And we're very lucky that the program has been renewed for another year, so we'll be providing services.
Is this like a job security lucky, or what kind of lucky are we talking
no,
about
yeah.
here?
Services.
Very lucky.
No,
services.
And this is also
to provide services.
Services.
Oh, okay. So lucky, on the other hand, that some people are going to be getting additional support.
Yes, exactly.
So to whom do you outreach?
We outreach to the clients that are in behavioral health, and we go out to the three different clinics in the valley. Well, and we also have clients from the alcohol and drugs, and we go to the two clinics in El Centro and the one in Brawley.
And also, you said to three clinics? Which one?
It's three clinics. It's the anxiety and depression clinic, and the one that we're stationed at, which is the schizophrenic and bipolar, and also the Brawley clinic.
Okay.
That's a catchy name for a clinic, huh?
Yeah.
So you go and, I mean, I've seen, you know, like sometimes I go to trainings and stuff, and I see like really cute tables with nice bunting on the table so that, you know, it looks like professional. It's probably with you guys maybe red and black, one would suspect. And then you've got like free pencils on the thing and maybe business cards and stuff. Is that what we're talking about here? I mean, are we going to see you in front of the clinics that way?
No. What we do is we go to the lobby of the clinic and we basically have a conversation with the clients that are there at the clinic. We talk to them. We give them a flyer. We introduce ourselves. Mireya and I go to the different clinics. And we just ask them if they would like to go to IVC, if they've ever been at IVC. And depending on what they tell us, we just take it from there to do the recruitment.
I think what you're doing is you're helping with them with the orientation of the whole process of
the orientation
attending.
Comes later once they're referred to the program, once everything else. But for when we're there at IVC, when we're there at the clinic, it's just mainly to give them information on the program and see if they're interested.
What kind of information do you offer?
What we do is we offer information about IVC, financial aid, and lots of the different classes that are available, when the semester will start. And if they tell us that they're interested, that's when we go ahead and fill out a form and give it to their caseworker or give it to the their psychiatrist. And it goes through team, goes through an evaluation. And once they're referred to us, then the whole program starts.
Now, neither one of you look like you're just brand new people. Mireya, let's talk. how is this different than other IVC stuff that you've done in the past? Is this kind of a different place for you guys? And what's it like?
Well, the population, well, let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Our population that we work with is very unique, as you know. We have individuals that have been taking medication and not necessarily being part of society, because they tend to kind of stay home and not do a lot of activities. So this is a great opportunity to start doing something else with their life, to start thinking about, you know, pursuing a career or maybe pursuing something that interests them, taking classes, music, art, physical education, anything that, you know, kind of takes them out of that circle. So this is a great opportunity for them to take advantage of our program.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I have my daughter. She's 22, my stepdaughter, and she's going to IVC. And sometimes, you know, she gets overwhelmed. She doesn't know the process of how to get, you know, to university, applications, deadlines, financial aid, any scholarships, grants, the transcripts that you have to send. Now everything's online. Mm-hmm. It gets very confusing. And
that's, we're there.
And she has, you know, she doesn't have a set counselor per se. So it can be going through the whole IVC process, what classes to take, that there, you know, classes are over, the classes aren't available, they're full, they need certain classes, what classes can they take to transfer? You know,
it's challenging.
It's very challenging, and, you know, fortunately she's not, you know, she doesn't have a mental illness, but I just can't, I can't imagine somebody that has a mental illness and having to go by themselves, trying to go through IVC and going through all the processes of getting to a class and trying to get something, either a vocational career or a pursuing higher education.
Yes, and our focus is to help them and guide them through the process, from applying for the college, doing the application for admissions, refer them to take the placement test at the college, talk about what their interests, what is their goals, what do they want to do, you know, what kind of classes are they interested in taking, then taking it step by step, helping them register, helping them get their books that they're going to need. So hopefully by the time school starts, they already have everything ready. They have, we plug in everything in a map, so let them know where their class is at. So we're basically just guiding them in every step that we can, and then we work with them throughout the semester to guide them in any problems that they may encounter.
Do they have priority registration?
Correct.
Yes.
If they are part of a disabled student services program at the college, they will get priority registration. If they're not part of the program because they choose not to, then they will not. They'll just be fall under how many units they have attempted and completed, and they'll go just with the regular population. So that's a plus.
And they can choose either or. They can choose to be part of a disabled population or not?
Yes, correct. They have the option of wanting to be part of the program, and, you know, a lot of times it becomes a stigma, you know, so they think that, you know, oh, I don't think I want to, but a lot of, it's not like...
Is there any way to tell them apart once they get to class?
No.
Okay.
No. Unless they're asking accommodations, and the accommodations can be done directly to the instructor, so there's no way the other students can know they're part of the SPS, unless they say themselves, you know, I belong in this program in the class.
Are you guys the accommodation figure-outers, or do other people do that?
The other people at the college do. Through Disabled Student Services Program, they provide those services, and they have counselors that work with them over there, and they go and meet with them and talk about what they want to do also, and based on their needs is how they get accommodations.
Okay.
We're talking about test taking, if they need any additional services, enlarging their prints, anything that they may need to be successful at the college, they can provide services for them.
Cool. 337-8874 is the phone number. We're here with IVC counselors, two of them, Maria Felix and Yolanda Romero, and we're talking about a special outreach program, an outreach program to the current clients of behavioral health services. Particularly the adult mental health clients, I guess. That's what we're talking to. Yolanda, I take it you are a strong believer in people engaging in the educational process, probably lifelong, and you really highly value that. Would that be fair?
Yes, it's very fair. We do, and it is very important that we talk to our students and we tell them that they, even though they have a mental illness, even though they have obstacles in their life that they face, they can still succeed, and we take it one step at a time. We explain everything to them so that they can know exactly what it is that they will look forward to when they go to the college. They know we're there to help them every step of the way, and we see how the education makes a difference in their life, how they change, their outlook is so different, and they really want to go out there and learn, and we stress the importance of them having to just go out there and do something different.
Are typically the consumers seeking you out, or do you have to kind of connect to them?
Well, sometimes they seek us. The word gets around that we're available, and they'll come, and we'll get a phone call from whoever is their mental health services worker. They'll come and they'll give us a referral. Other times we go and look for them. Okay. They pretty much know us already, and then it goes by word of mouth between the different clients, and they go, we have
Do you meet by people one-on-one or group presentations or both?
It's
or all
one-on-one.
Three, or?
Okay. We will be doing an orientation in the beginning before school starts. Mm-hmm. We will be doing an orientation
for everyone
who signed up for IVC to give them an overview of what they're going to expect, what's expected to them once they participate in the resource center. And that'll give them a clear indication of what's expected of them. But we will be doing the orientation sometime in August.
On a hope meter, like if you had a hope meter and it was like one was like, I have zero hope, and 10 was like, I am like so hopeful that this can work. How are typically with the mental health consumer population, how hopeful are they as you begin to engage with them that this is something that they can A, do, and B, be successful in?
When they come in, most of the time they are very hopeful, sometimes in a scale of a 10. And we have some that are really wanting to do something, but they're afraid because they've been out of school for a long time.
But they really kind of hope they can.
Most of them, the majority, are very hopeful. Some of them are scared, and it's just a matter of them getting a class, a PE class, if that's all it takes, an art class for drawing or design, if they can do that. Any class that will help them, but
okay,
the majority
introducing
of them
to the culture of IVC, basically.
Yes, there are classes also that do that, like an orientation type of a class for note-taking, for how to be successful in college, how to be a good student. So we try to gear them, if they qualify for the class, we try to gear them towards that class. And also for our Spanish speakers who want to learn computers and they don't know of any computer, there is a class that is non-credit, and it's for ESL people ESL students that want to learn computers. So we try to gear them to classes that are going to be something that they can take.
How many individuals have signed up and are in this program to date, Cass?
We have, let's see.
Oh, I figured you knew it because you had the starting date nailed on this. She probably knows how many people she has.
We have 55 students that are part of the Resource Center and 12 that are behavioral health clients, just in the behavioral health. They don't have to be part of the Resource Center if they don't want to.
Okay.
And some of them don't want to go through all the requirements of the Resource Center, so they'll just
perhaps need to.
They don't need to, right. No. But we do have 55 that are a total of 67 students is what we have. But we have over 200 that we are serving. And those 200, we call them every semester to see if they're ready. Sometimes they're not ready. So we tell them it's okay. We can try again the following semester. But we have over 200 students that we are serving.
Determines who might be ready versus who's put on the list of potentials, I guess? That's the question.
Team is the one that decides. They go through a team review. And they're the ones that decide whether or not the client is ready. It also based
who decides if they get reviewed by. I mean, you mentioned 200 people. Mm-hmm. How does that population get created? I guess.
Well, we do a release of information form. We give it to the doctor. Team reviews it, and if they're ready, based on their wellness plan, their medication, how they're taking it, then they get referred to us. And once they get referred to us, we also send them to IVC. We do a placement test. We send them to IVC to the assessment so they can do a placement test. and that determines their level of English and math and what is the appropriate.
So somebody walks in the door at behavioral health. They're grown up. So okay, they meet the adult criteria.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, to be considered for this outreach, they have to be. I would assume high school graduates or no. No,
not necessarily. No.
Okay, so you don't need to have necessarily graduated from high school.
If they are going to get their certificate, then once they're at IVC, they can pursue the GED, and we do tell them that that the Resource Center provides GED classes for them.
So they have two options for
yes.
obtaining uh-huh. their graduation equivalent diploma or whatever the GED
yes.
stands for. Okay, so that's not necessarily a rule out. What is the rule out? I mean, how do we get from 1,000 people to 200? That's my interest, point of interest, I suppose.
I think who really decides at the end of the day is the doctor. The psychiatrist that has been working with them is the one that decides this client is ready. And they see how motivated the student is and how they're doing, and if they're taking their medications, if they have been going to their appointments. So if they have been following through with everything that they need to do, then the doctor decides that he's a good candidate. So based on that, it's how we get the referral. So feels the client's not ready, then the doctor
will
deny.
So these 200 people actually have been referred?
Yes, by the doctor.
Perfect.
And their team.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay. And then one would, I guess, assume that clients wanting this would be, or consumers wanting this would be a big thing.
Yes.
So like, although the doctor may be the gatekeeper in some respects.
Yes.
Client desire for this is part of their individual growth and development.
That's what we really encourage the client to go to their appointments, to make sure they take their medication, that they do everything that they have to do, so that the doctor doesn't say, well, you haven't been compliant, so what makes you think that you're going to be able to go to IVC? And, you know, but we don't want to put anyone, we don't want to set anyone back. We want to help them to move forward. So an important part of their wellness is to be able to.
It's, you know, that's kind of an interesting point, isn't it? It's like do we shelter so much that the only people who get through are the people who, and our degree of support is so strong that nobody ever fails, or do we put it out there on the edge a little bit more and let people discover for themselves that if you don't do your homework, you don't pass your class.
Correct. Huh. Yes, but we do.
Yolanda wants to jump in on it. What are your thoughts?
Well, another thing is, let's say a client comes to us and they want to go to IVC and for whatever reason they're not ready, we do call them and tell them once we get a denial, and so that they don't get discouraged and they know that we follow through, and they'll be able to do their referrals later, and later we can try it again and see if they're ready. We just tell them, make sure you take your medication, make sure you keep your appointment so you will be referred to IVC. And for those other clients that are already there, we also tell them about their expectations.
Now,
they
as part of this program, okay, so it is dependent upon people doing well. It's one of the, but so they get certain benefits for being in this program, or no? Do they get like the cost of their books paid for, or?
Yes, they go through the Resource Center. Once they're referred to the Resource Center, they qualify for the books. All their books get paid. They're usually a week or two before class starts. Their student fees get paid, and if they qualify for financial aid covers the tuition. If not, we help them with the BOG so that the BOG gets covered. If by any chance it isn't covered,
the BOG is
a Board of Governors grant.
Or a swamp in Ireland, one of the two.
Yeah, it's a fee waiver for tuition. And if they don't qualify for any of that and they're active in the Resource Center picks up the fee. They also get their parking sticker, but they know that they have to participate. If they're going to get all these services, they have to participate the minimum required that the Resource Center requires of them, the minimum hours.
Okay. What if just devil's advocate here. Okay, so let's say I would like to, I'm a consumer, and I would like to go to IVC. It's like part of my career development or part of my interest level or something. And somehow, for whatever reason, I don't meet the readiness criteria for this program. You know, somebody decides, well, he's just not compliant enough, sorry. Those students could still come to you as special needs students and apply as special independent of your outreach program and apply as special needs students and get accommodations and probably get similar levels of support, maybe not the books.
They wouldn't come to us if they're not referred.
No, you guys are directly behavioral health people.
Yeah, but we would refer them to DSPS at IVC.
Perfect.
And they would get a different level of service, but they'll get training accommodations, and they'll get everything, but they have to go directly to the college.
Okay. So yeah. There are other aspects or other
yes.
avenues for people to get in, not just through this door. This is kind of a special door.
Yes, correct. They have options, you know, to get services through us, but in the event that they cannot get services because they're not being referred to us, they can get services at main campus through different programs that are available at IVC that they can benefit from.
Okay. So the goal then typically is the goal with like most educations, figure out where you're at and begin to integrate and get stable with this college thing and then move forward towards some desired result.
Yes.
That fits within the format of whatever the college is offering.
Yes, and our goal is to work with the client. We work on the recommendation that the doctor does. We ask for the doctor to decide what is the level that this student can take. We want them to either go part-time, that means take one or two classes. If the doctor feels that they can pursue a full course, we're talking about four classes, full-time student, then we can go with that. But mainly the doctor feels more comfortable going part-time. We really stress the fact that we rather start strong, complete one class, then next semester we can try two classes. So once we you know, the important thing is to start. Once we start, then that becomes easier as time progresses. And this is our second year, so we have those students that have progressed from one class to already taking full.
Well, you kind of, when Yolanda was saying, hey, we got funded again.
Yes.
So from the standpoint of the clients, there may be a slight sense of urgency to engage at a higher level because the clock's ticking.
Well, we're hoping that our contract gets renewed every single year. That's our hope. But, you know, for them, this is just a great opportunity to take advantage of our services because we're here to provide the services for them. So we're very happy to be here and to be able to do and guide them with everything that we can.
But consumers may want to realize, I suppose, that this is dependent upon available funds and priorities of government and priorities of policy and
mm-hmm.
priorities of the California legislature as far as anything.
Well, before we came on board, the Resource Center was providing services for the clients. However, they didn't have two great counselors to work with them and guide them with every step that we're doing.
Knowledgeable and friendly.
Yes, very knowledgeable and friendly. And so this is the opportunity that they have now a counselor that can really guide them and let them know everything that they need to do to be successful. And in the event that, you know, they're not doing too good, then we look at resources. What can we do to help you?
Yeah.
So that this is why we're here.
Support.
Yes.
Right.
So we're the support system. We're the linkage between the college, behavioral health, their doctors. So we're like a, they have developed trust within us already by now, and they are pretty comfortable in calling us and letting us know, you know, I'm having a problem with this, what can I do? And we have those clients that call us every single week with something, or just to say hello. So we have developed a good trust. Right, Yoli?
Yes, it's a holistic approach. Everybody gets involved in the recovery, and some of them will never be able to pursue a goal of let's say,
Never say never.
But some of them, but just the goal of getting them out there and doing something and taking classes and telling them it may take you longer than the other students, but you'll achieve it in the long run. But don't try to take all at once and do everything. There's always going to be some resources out there that can help you. For instance, there's financial aid also, and the majority of them qualify for financial aid. So there's always going
to
be something there, and we just don't want
to
rush.
Not you have to pay back, right?
No, yeah, and we don't want to rush them through the process. They'll do it at their time, and the goal is to get them step by step so that later they can achieve that full-time semester and be on their way to complete their education.
Perfect. Well, it's top of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, let's talk about the things we've learned in the first couple of years of this program and how that might apply to building the future with us. We're here with the IVC counselors, and we'll be right back. This is Let's Talk About It.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service, Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley and Mexicali Valley and Yuma, Sonora Valley and whatever other valley the reception actually carries to. I'm Scott. Maria's sitting somewhere close by. She had an urgent phone call. 337-8874 is our phone number. If you want to give us a call today and kind of explore Imperial Valley College's outreach program for behavioral health clients, which is what we're talking about today. We're here to Mireya Felix and Yolanda Romero, and they are counselors for IVC, and they work exclusively with the adult population at Behavioral Health with an outreach program designed to promote the educational/vocational, because you could be working towards a gig here, aspect of recovery. And that's a contract that came through Prop 63, through the Mental Health Funding Services Funding Act, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Hi. Welcome back.
Hello. We're here.
This is the after 8 o'clock time. Now we kind of let our hair down and loosen up a little bit. All those 8 o'clock people, they're working now, so they can't hear what we're saying. So now the real show starts.
Okay. We're ready. Let's go.
All right. So where were we? You know, let's see. I am really curious about this. What have we learned since we started? We've only been doing this for a year. What have you learned as counselors, and what have we begun to understand about the consumers that are part of this program in terms of their needs, in terms of their goals, in terms of how high can we aim, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, one of our things we have learned is that it's a very unique population. Once again, I say that they are very, very needy in the sense that they need a lot of support. So they need for us to give them one-on-one guidance for everything that they need to do. So we have learned that, and that we have to be very patient with them and explain things 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
So you guys have learned that mental health disorders are a big deal, huh?
Yes, that it's we really have to be able to connect with them, and for to have all the patients in the world to provide the services that we can provide to them.
And the people who struggle and do the work for in the context of mental health disorders are really brave and courageous people, huh?
Yes. Yes, I see them as people. You know, my students, I don't see them as mental health patients. I see them as my students that come and want to get services through our program to go to IVC. So at one point, I just totally ignore the fact that they have a mental illness, because they're students and they're human beings that want to do something better for themselves. And that's what I'm here for. We are here to provide those services for our students.
And in reality, they're not any different than the rest of the population.
Maybe
all
a little
students,
tougher and more courageous, I would
in
say.
In that sense, yes. But I mean, but all the students also, any other student has issues. And it's the same issues that with every single student that happens. Like they're struggling with a class, and then we refer them to tutoring. And through all these years, we've learned how to work with them. We were also before in CalWORK, so we already knew how to work with a very special population, with a special group of people. And all that experience has helped us in working with our students. It's a relationship of mutual respect.
In a certain extent, I hear what it seems like you're saying, that the pitfalls for IVC at IVC are everybody's pitfalls, and everybody falls into the same pits.
Yes.
What are some of those pits, and how do you work through them?
For instance, if they're struggling with a class, if they're struggling with issues of low self-confidence.
Getting there.
Getting there. The transportation is an issue. Or just the fear of getting the bus. If they've usually been driven around by family members.
And get off the bus and there's hundreds of people milling around and they're all
so
young.
So it can be an overwhelming experience, but it's an overwhelming experience that is usually felt by a
everyone.
Lot of students.
I certainly feel it when I walk there.
So we tell them, you know, you're feeling this way. Other students are feeling this way also. So we just don't want their illness to be a focus. And we don't want them to think, oh, this is happening to me only because I have this. No, it's something that many of the students face. So we're trying to give them also the self-confidence that it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to feel overwhelmed, but that's why there's services out there. There's counselors. There's Mireia and myself that can help them with any issue that they have. They can just call us and talk to us, and we will try to help them in every way.
Do you guys do, like, role plays, like the first night of school when you show up for your class and there's like 100 extra people in the room and everybody's trying to crash it? And I mean,
yes, we
you really need
them
to be prepared for that because it is a bit
weird. We tell them the process of crashing. We explain everything to them in detail, and we also give them a map, and we tell them in the map we pinpoint every single class that they're going to have. Okay, this is the areas of interest at IVC, and this is where your class is going to be. So mainly trying to make the transition less stressful.
Nice. How has that gone so far? How has that gone so far? I mean, typically are people able to kind of get through that first class and get an okay grade and move on to bigger and better things?
Yes. We have a lot of successful stories so far that we have had those students that, you know, were like doubtful, like saying, oh, well, I want to, but I'm not sure I can do it. And yes, they have been very successful and finishing already this, going on their third semester at IVC. So, you know, taking one, two classes has been a really, really good experience for them. And we have those students that are eager and telling us, I'm ready for the next semester. What am I going to take next semester? You know, so we do have those students, you know, and we do have also those students that, for one reason or another, they have not been very successful, and, you know, we have let them know, you know, maybe this is a time to take a sit back and really think about what you want to do, and maybe this semester is not a good option at this point, you know, because we don't want them to get sick on us, you know, we don't want them to get overwhelmed and stressed, and rather than helping them go forward, they're going to be falling back. And
yeah, there's really no expectation of have to here.
Yeah. So our thing is to guide them and help them and in any way we can. But there's
just
also
want to give it your best shot and let's see if it works or not.
Yes, and I think that's the main opportunity that this program offers. You know, giving them the opportunity of trying something different and giving it a try, and that's all they're asked for. You know, try it and see if IVC is an option, and if you are interested, you know, we're here for you.
Cool. What kind of a spectrum so far of participation have you seen in this first year of program? I mean, how many people are taking art or PE versus how many people are going in saying, you know, I want to be some sort of tech person, take vocational classes, or I want to be a psychologist and taking psychology?
I want to say I don't have that many students that are taking all these classes to prep them for a particular major or certificate. But
yet.
Yes, not yet. But I do have those students that are a year away from being able to get their associate's degree. Yes.
So you actually have people in associate degree programs that are going to graduate with that two-year degree and be able to do whatever happens after.
Yes, she should be able to complete her AS degree this coming year, and she should be able to transfer. So that's my hope. Yes.
Now, with somebody who reaches that level of success, The outreach program itself is going to end because you guys are tied to Imperial Valley College, so SDSU, you're not.
No.
Colors are the same, but different school. So are you able to then provide similar or cohesive layers of support so that people can transition into four-year schools with a reasonable expectation of having their needs met?
Well, at this point, since we are providing services for IVC, I'm not sure we're going to be able to provide services for
But would you be able to sit down and kind of help them with the
process.
Basically integrate into that other school.
Correct. We can let them know what is it that they need to do to prepare to be able to transfer to the other institution.
Would you talk to the other school and then and let's say that they enroll or apply as a special needs student,
mm-hmm.
and then are able to access that? Would you then be able to, with a release of information, I suppose, be able to coordinate that?
Once again, I think our hands are kind of tight because we're IVC employees. So I'm not sure I would be able to provide fully services for...
Well, not on an ongoing basis, but just on a kind of handoff basis.
From
me to you.
I am not sure on that one yet. I guess when it comes to the time when my... Yeah, we'll find out what is exactly what we can do and we can't do. So it's going to be a learning experience on that sense.
Mostly the students that I have right now, they're trying a vocational. A lot of them are not looking into transferring yet. I know that will come. There's services out there at IVC that can help them. For instance, there's a transfer center. There's also the DSPS counselors that can gear them, and they would be the linkage.
Cool.
I think the DSPS counselors would be the linkage with whatever program they have in San Diego State that would help them with their disabilities that they have. But I do have some students that I have one that is a client that came to me from alcohol and drugs, and she wants to pursue an alcohol and drug certificate, counselor certificate. She's very happy. She's on her way. She says this really helped her, and it has changed her life, and she always wanted to do it but never thought she could. So I have other students that are in the medical assistant program. That seems to be a very popular program, with at least with my students. They really like that. And I have auto tech also. Mostly it's the non-transferable, the certificate program,
right,
vocational
right,
programs
right,
that
which,
they're pursuing.
Which may be perfect.
And later on they may think that they may want something else, but for right now their goal is maybe just one class, maybe pursue a certificate. It'll take them longer because they're only taking one or two classes, but they're progressing along and like I said, if they ever want to transfer, there's the transfer center that can help them, and also the DSPS counselors will help them with linking them to whatever services they have in the university that they want to transfer to. Hopefully that will happen one day, and we will get to see our first graduate, and that's what we're aiming for, and that's what we're hoping for.
That sounds really optimistic. Now, I know one of the things with the Mental Health Service Act is the whole concept of peer support. You know, building from within the community of mental health consumers, those whom can work with and show the pathways for the other consumers. Have you been able so far to tap into people inside the mental health system as consumers who are able to then buddy up or help or assist or work with or show the way or talk to other people who are newly entering into the Imperial Valley College experience?
Yes, they our clients, the ones that we already have in the program, they're very good at promoting our services. They as soon as somebody new comes into the resource center, they immediately tell them about all the services that the resource center provides, and they tell them about us, and they'll come to us. And even some of the consumers will bring somebody and say, this person's going to IVC, I want you to work with him. So we have especially one consumer over there at the resource center that is very good in bringing us students. And so we work with them, and we try to help them in every way we can, and also work very closely with their MERTs to help them.
Does the outreach program work both ways? Are people who are at... Because let's say for a second that people who are attending Imperial Valley College have mental health problems that may necessitate the level of care that you work with over here. Could those people, in theory, actually be referred to an adult clinic and then be seen in an adult clinic and then qualify back for additional supports through you?
Yes, we've given presentations at IVC in the counselors' meeting, and the counselors are aware of our services. And we tell them that if they have students that have issues and mental health issues, behavioral issues, anything, if they know that they're part of the behavioral health, to also refer them to us because they get additional support. They can still work with that counselor at IVC because many times they're comfortable working with them, but we'll be their linkage,
sure.
We'll be additional support. So there is that. They are aware of our services, and we do help them that
way. Typically,
you know, people that are going to IVC are kids who are coming out of high school. They're the 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds. What population are you? What is the age range that you're usually treating with the ones with through behavioral health?
It's the average. Adults. Mostly the age, what would you say, Mia?
18-year-olds like, think they're adults too, by the way.
Yeah, they are young adults.
Mine would be like in their 30s.
Okay.
I guess I have a little older population. I do have the young ones that are 19, 20. I have my oldest that's 79 going to IVC. So
good.
I have a range from the young ones to the very knowledgeable, mature, clients that are going. So, yes.
Does that kind of, I mean, IVC is really the community college. Does that kind of reflect the diversity at IVC also? I mean, do you see kind of a parallel there?
Basically our...
It's predominantly young people, but...
Yes. In the evening, it's mainly adult people that have a job and that go to school to improve their skills or want to pursue something else different. But yes, we do see that, you know, the college in itself, it's more geared towards younger population, but we do have our adults that want to take classes out there. Yes.
Do they have any, for the people that through IVC, behavioral health, our clients, going through IVC can be very stressful. It is. You know, especially during midterms or finals. If they have any kind of services, if they need any kind of assistance, do they know where to go?
Well, if they are part of our services, we strongly recommend to be referred to the Disabled Student Services Program, where they can get accommodations for test taking. For example, if they feel that they can't take the test in class because they need extended time, they can go get services through DSPS where they can get extended time on their test. If they have problems where they need to get their tests enlarged or their material enlarged, or if they need additional tutoring services, they're referred to the library also to get services for that. So they have accommodations where they can get at the college to be able to get them through stressful situations or any kind of situations that they might encounter.
Now, part of the college experience is extracurricular activities and clubs and going to the basketball games and all that stuff. Are you part of that, and do you encourage and engage people, the mental health consumers, in that direction also?
We have our bulletin there at the office where we post and let them know what's going on at the college, what kind of activities are going. You know, but we're talking about our population that takes the bus, the majority that go to school. And a lot of times they're not really interested in doing other kinds of activities out at the college. Unless they're there in their class and after the class there's something going on at the college center, then that's when they participate. But to say that they are really interested
it's,
in...
It's kind of, well, like you said, it's kind of like an older population. Not older, not the 18, 19-year-olds. You still have some, but most of them are probably in their 30s, 40s, even all the way soon. A lot of them probably just want to go to the class and just get, you know, go through the course and not participate.
Not do so many other activities.
And not have, like, college fun. Come on.
But the thing is, that's good that they're still socializing. Yeah. They're still involved in a class.
Yes, that's the main key, being out there and being able to be at the college and being part of the college in itself.
Yes, some of them will go, like Mireya said, only if it's an activity that's going on during the time. But a lot of them don't feel left out because they do have activities for fun activities through the ROP STAR program. ROP STAR program, Project STAR, and also the Resource Center gives them activities where they go out in the community, they go bowling, they do other stuff. And so they do get to socialize in that way with other people. But some of them do very basic stuff at the college also.
That's nice. But so I don't know. I wasn't here. How many do you have right now in total going to IVC?
55. I remember. 67. The other 12. 55 from the Resource Center and 12 from the. What do they tell you? What kind of feedback do you get from our consumers as they're engaging in this experience? Some of them it's kind of like they've already done some of this. Others it's brand new.
It's brand new.
What do they tell you?
Some of them tell us that. Like, for instance, the older population, they either feel different when they're there with so many young people. Others say it makes me feel young and energetic. and others find it overwhelming. We also prepare them to how to, we show them how to crash.
Do you walk with them? Do you kind of like go with them?
No, we don't go with them, but they do know exactly where to go because we give them a map and they know exactly where to go when they're at the college. They know the crashing process, and some of them have been very successful in crashing classes if they're already full when they want to enroll, and they get very happy when they're able to do that. And they chose me out of everybody else, so it helps.
Crashing is an upper level skill.
Yes, it is.
it really is.
And we have people that are very successful in doing that already. So, but it is it's a different experience for them. It gives them a different outlook. It makes them very happy to know that they actually have the potential to do something that they didn't know they could do.
Especially here in here in the Valley, there's a lot of people that don't pursue their higher education. And here they are, going to IVC. I'm going to IVC. You know, just the sound of it, you know.
They feel proud.
Exactly.
Yeah, they feel very proud, and they're unlocking a potential that they didn't think was within them. And that is a really empowering experience for them.
And they, like you said, you know, you're working with people who are in the 30s, 40s. You know, all this time since they were 18 or maybe they didn't finish high school, they've been out. You know, they've been isolated, and now they're back. Now they're going to IVC.
Yes. And one of my success stories that I have, she is 60 plus. And doesn't have her GED.
She's young. She's very young.
Very young, yes.
Very young.
But, you know, mature. And she started going to GED classes, and she said, you know, maybe I want to give IVC a try. I said, okay, good. And I got her all started, and she is so eager, just so eager. And she goes her first semester, she goes, can you please print out my grades? Because I want to show my kids and my grandkids my grades and show them how good I did. She was so excited, you know, just to see her grades, and she was so fascinated. So, and she's my client that tells me, you know, I'm ready for next semester. Let's go. What am I going to take? So, you know, we're talking about a person that had never thought about doing anything else and started with GED, and then that's when she thought about, maybe IVC can be an option for me. So, you know, it's a possibility for anyone that's interested.
It opens so many options, you know, for people who never thought about, like your client, never thought about going back to school, and you know, they learned something that interests them.
Especially, yeah, like I said, because she's older, you know, she never thought she would be able to go and do, you know, college life like Scott says. You know, to her it was like amazing.
Minus the dorms.
As long as she doesn't come home on spring break with a tattoo, okay.
Okay.
So these are predominantly daytime classes, yeah? Because you mentioned the transportation thing.
Yes, because a lot of our students don't want to be out there at 10 o'clock at night, so they might not choose. Or a lot of times, I do have some of those clients that take medication, and their medication doesn't allow them, or it kind of conflicts with their sleeping
pattern.
So I do have those that rather take late classes and early morning classes, so they want to take either afternoon or night classes. I do have those that tell me there's no way I can make it during the morning. Mm-hmm. So I do work around their schedule and how they feel more comfortable. And we have those students that tried it one semester and said, no, I don't think I can handle that.
Especially if they're on medication. The medication is just.
It kind of wears them down. Mm-hmm. Or if they have to take it at night and it kind of wears off late in the morning. So, yes. Yeah, we work with the clients.
Now, are you guys able to encourage consumers who may be struggling with that to kind of go back to their psychiatrist and talk it over and see if that works, if there's something we could adjust or do?
Whenever we work with the client and the student and we see that they're not...
There's mental health stuff.
Yes, that you could tell they're not, and they're pretty honest, and they'll tell us, I'm not feeling too good.
Well, yeah.
You know, and the good thing about it is that we're there at the clinic, and we have direct contact with the psychiatrist, and we can go and talk to them. And, you know, if they happen to be from the clinic, from the anxiety clinic or the Brawley clinic, we have a good contact with the doctors, and we feel comfortable in going and saying, you know, I have an issue, what can I do, you know, or maybe say we need to schedule an appointment, let's do something. So we try to do a plan of action for them and, you know, not let more time go by and you know, something worse happen, yes.
So, you know, it's interesting because common wisdom, even less than a couple decades ago, was you know, that major mental health disorders, which all of the people in adult consumers have major mental health disorders, none of that minor stuff walking around there, that it was basically a life sentence, and you were going to have this kind of marginalized, safe, sheltered, stuck in a corner mm-hmm. somewhere lifestyle, and that was the best you were going to be able to hope for. Programs like this have really shined some light into the truth that people can have pretty, 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 pretty enhanced lives, regardless of what hands they've been dealt or regardless of what they've had to struggle through. And must be fun watching that happen directly for both of you.
Yes, and we're also very fortunate that Behavioral Health has given us training in recognizing mental illness and recognizing suicide, and many trainings that we've received, several trainings in, through Behavioral Health. And we also get invited when the pharmaceuticals give presentations, so we can be aware of when their medication is not working for them, if they have certain issues that are going on. And that's when, like Mireya said, we'll pinpoint it and then we'll refer them back to the doctor, even if they tell us, well, my next appointment is in a month. But we tell them, no, we need to schedule an appointment sooner.
A month in college can uh-huh. be, if you're yes. not doing your work, can be.
Yes, uh-huh. And so in that sense, you know, that's why we're able also to work with them, because Behavioral Health has helped us a lot also in working, and they've prepared us for this.
You know, I used to be an EOPS counselor at IVC years ago.
I'm still trying to figure out what EOPS stands for.
Equal Opportunity Program.
Ah, there you go.
And services. And going, especially it was for students who met the income criteria, so that's low income and maybe first generation. And I came across, it would have been nice to have known the basics of when I was a counselor with trying to identify mental illness, because I came around with so many young adults and just adults in general having to drop off from college, not being able to take the classes anymore because either they didn't have the money, stressors at home, going through divorce, losing their jobs, not being able to pay childcare. They had so many stressors coming to me, and you know,
some of which just, might have been tied to mental health stuff.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of it. A lot, but back then, you know, I was not aware of it.
Oh, and these supports weren't available.
Yes, that was 13, 14 years ago.
That's how this program came about, because they noticed that even the counselors were noticing that there were these students that were taking full-time classes and dropping out every single semester because they had problems that they probably didn't want to disclose. And so they figured, okay, there's something going on here. Well, let's try to find out and let's try to set up a contract with Behavioral Health so that we can pinpoint that. And so that's how the program started.
Yeah,
because they saw this problem.
And I also saw a lot of kids waiting for the Thursday or Friday and taking off and going to parties or whatever and getting drunk or using drugs, and then always missing Monday classes. And it was, but back then I didn't know. I wasn't even aware of the services that Behavioral Health provided. That was 14 years ago, 14, 15 years ago before I started working. So I saw a lot of mental illness and alcohol and drug use, especially with the young population and older population too.
So this is an important bridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that's how far we've come?
And we're very fortunate to be here to provide our
service. And we've come to the end of our exciting hour of togetherness. Would you give out your contact information, and then if anybody knows anybody, or if anybody's a mental health consumer or client and wants to be part
of
this,
or going IVC,
yes, they can.
We
give
can.
You guys
they
a
can
call.
Link us back over here to Behavioral Health.
So, yes. So who are we gonna call?
Please call me, Mireya Felix. My office is at the One Stop Building, second floor. We are at 2695 South 4th Street here in El Centro. I'm in Suite A. My phone number is 760-482-2120, and we'll be more than happy to provide all the services that we can guide in the guidance for the college. Don't forget, registration will be in July. Our semester starts August 22nd, so perfect timing to start everything to start IVC for fall.
Don't waste a beat, huh?
Now,
if they say they heard about it on Let's Talk About It, would you give them like an IVC pencil or something? Like,
Yeah.
And I'm Yolanda, and you can contact me at 482-2121. And we're here to help you in every step of the way.
Thank you both for coming.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Yeah.
And if you missed any of that information, you can always access it through our podcast at kxoradio.com.
All right. Have a wonderful weekend and join us again next Thursday for more Let's Talk About It.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by kxoradio.com.